This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to all of you on this Lord's Day as we gather in His house to hear again His word and to receive His supper. Again today, obviously, we want to stay spaced in the pews. Appreciate the folks that are using the balcony. And again, the choir lofts are open if you need them. We will again be spaced at the communion rail. That will be one big table. You'll be dismissed together at the end of the distribution. So at this point, we continue with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 67 in the front part of our hymnals. We chant Psalm 67 responsively by whole verse. I will begin with the odd-numbered verses. The congregation will chant the even-numbered. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. Let your Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. The epistle is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience. So they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 15. The words of Jesus, or some of the words of Jesus, to the woman, the Canaanite woman who had come to him. Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith." Dear Christians, you know, when you read the Gospels, you don't really hear Jesus talking all that much about great faith. In fact, it only happens twice, and this is one of them. Most often, you hear Jesus talking about little faith. We heard Jesus talking about little faith last Sunday, didn't we? Peter, by the power of Jesus' word, began to walk to Jesus on the water, but he got scared of the wind, began to sink into the sea. He cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," and Jesus did. And as Jesus was pulling Peter out of the water, he said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Again, we heard last week how Jesus saved his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. They were caught in a storm. The boat was being swamped by the waves. The disciples were staring death in the face. But before Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, he rebuked his disciples. He said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples not to worry about what they would eat or what they would drink or what they would wear. He pointed them to the lilies of the field and said, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you,
O you of little faith. Fear lies at the root of little faith. Hearts filled with fear cannot be filled with faith. Hearts filled with fear have only enough room for a little faith, if any faith at all. Peter was afraid of the wind that was whipping up the waters around him. The disciples were afraid of the waves that were filling the boat and pulling it down into the sea. They were afraid that they might not have enough to eat or drink or wear. They were guilty of little faith, guilty of believing that the wind and the waves and their daily needs were bigger than Jesus, too big for him to handle. You and I are no better. And sometimes our hearts are filled with fear instead of faith. Sometimes there's only room in our hearts for a little faith. We are afraid that someone or something is stronger than Jesus. We are afraid that Jesus is not or will not be able to provide for our needs or help us in our troubles. We are afraid that sin in the end will triumph over his promise of forgiveness and that death will overpower his promise of life everlasting. We fear that the virus will rob us of our health, our livelihoods, and our lives. We fear that our loved ones who have died in the Lord are lost to us forever and that we'll never see them again. We fear that our sins are too many and too great for Jesus to forgive. We fear that our broken relationships cannot be healed, not even by Jesus, who reconciled a world of sinners and brought them back to God, that we might live with him as his beloved children. There are times when Jesus must look at you and Jesus must look at me and shake his head and say, "Why do you doubt, O you of little faith? Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Will your heavenly Father not feed and clothe you, O you of little faith?" But today we don't hear Jesus talking about little faith. We hear Jesus talking about great faith. And that great faith appears where you would least expect it, at least in Jesus' day. That great faith welled up in the heart of a woman, a Canaanite woman to boot. The 12 Jewish men whom Jesus had called to be his disciples and whom he appointed to be apostles, those who had traveled with Jesus and witnessed his miracles and heard his teaching, they had repeatedly been guilty of little faith. But here, this lone, unnamed Gentile woman demonstrated great faith. So what is it that made her faith so great? Well, first of all, that woman's faith was great because it was faith in Jesus. Her faith was great because she trusted in him. She knew who Jesus was, and she believed who Jesus was. She called Jesus the Son of David, a title given the Old Testament Christ, the Messiah. Three times she addressed Jesus as Lord, and as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Yes, this woman had great faith, Spirit-given faith in Jesus, the Christ, in Jesus, her Lord. But she not only knew who Jesus was, she knew what Jesus had done and what Jesus could do. She had heard how Jesus was going around and healing the sick and driving out demons. She believed what she had heard. She trusted that what Jesus had done for others, he would do for her. She believed that Jesus not only could, but would help her and help her daughter. And so she asked, believing that she would receive. She sought, believing that she would find. She knocked, believing that it would be open to her. She cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Again she cried out, "Lord, help me." And when Jesus told her that he had come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that it would not be right for him to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, even then she cried out, "Yes, Lord, Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And you see, that's what really made her faith truly great. The fact that she kept on trusting in Jesus, even when he gave her every indication that he was not going to help her. After her first plea for mercy, Jesus simply ignored her. Matthew writes, he did not answer her a word. And then Jesus told her that he had not been sent for the likes of her. And finally, Jesus told her that it would be wrong for him to help her, a Gentile dog, instead of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet, she just kept on believing in Jesus. She kept on trusting in Jesus to help her. She kept on crying out to him for mercy, even if it was just a crumb of mercy. Not even Jesus himself, by his silence and by his speaking, could get her to stop believing in him and trusting in him. And that's why Jesus finally, at last, cried out, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And Matthew tells us her daughter was healed instantly. What would you do? What would you do if Jesus was standing in front of you and you cried to him for help and he gave you the silent treatment? What would you do if he just stood there and looked right through you like you were invisible, like you had no voice? Would you keep on believing in Jesus? Would you keep on trusting in Jesus? Would you keep on crying out to him for help and mercy? What would you do if Jesus told you to your face that he had not been sent for you and that it would not be right for him to help you? Would you keep on believing in him, trusting in him, crying out to him? It'd be real easy at that point to just walk away. It would be real easy at that point to just turn away from Jesus, stop believing and trusting in him, and never ask him for another thing. I mean, it's hard enough, isn't it? It's hard enough to keep on believing in Jesus when it seems like he's giving us the silent treatment. It's hard enough to keep on trusting in Jesus and crying out to him in prayer when it feels like he is against us instead of for us, and that he is refusing to help us. And sometimes it seems that way, and sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? But like that Canaanite woman, you know Jesus. You know who Jesus is. You know what Jesus has done and does and promises to do. He has told you in his word. He is the Lord, the Son of David, the promised Christ, who came down from heaven to save you from your sin. He is the Savior who went to the cross, where he himself was ignored and left alone and unhelped by his Father. He hung on the tree with your sins hanging on him, crying out to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was shown no mercy, so that you might enjoy not just a crumb of mercy from God, but all of God's mercies, and all of God's mercies that never come to an end. And now, Jesus, having risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, prays for you and speaks in your defense before the Father. He is with you on earth, still serving and saving you and all those who are his. He speaks forgiveness to you in his word. He clothed you with himself in the waters of holy baptism. He feeds you and nourishes you in his supper with his own life-giving body and blood that he gave and shed for you on the cross. He has blazed the trail that one day you will follow, the trail that leads from an open grave to the Father in heaven and to life everlasting. He promises that whatever you ask in his name, he will give it to you and he will do it for you. And so you believe in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. You cry out to him even when, especially when it seems that he is not hearing and that he is not answering, especially when it feels like he has not come to be your Savior and Good Shepherd, especially when it appears that he is not interested in helping you. Jesus is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Your faith rests in and clings to an unchanging Jesus and his unchanging promises, no matter what. And you see, that's what turns little faith into great faith. Faith that believes and trusts in the Savior, who himself is not little, but great, and more than able to do what you need and what he promises. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we pray for the sick and the hospitalized whose names appear on our prayer list. And today we pray especially for our members, Darren Stack, Carolyn Durth, Susie Bond, Karen Trimberger, Harry Hoagland, Phyllis Engel, and Jerry Jarvis. Also our neighbors, Steve Rodman, who is a friend of Dave Maurer, Terry Paulett, who is an acquaintance of Kathy Toma, and our former member, Jeannie Stahn. We pray for Danny and Judy Hank on their 58th wedding anniversary. We pray for the Reverend Joseph Barlow, who has been called to serve as pastor of Emmanuel Congregation here in town. We pray for Connie Marksman, who has served DLS and now TLS for 10 years, and who is leaving the TLS staff to take a position as an individual aide for an autistic student in the Bismarck school system. We pray for Dave Cooper's family at the death of his aunt, Mary Clagie, and we remember our president, President Trump, today at the death of his brother. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For our nation, that the Lord would help us to repent of the past faults and the present sins of our country, and that he would help us to appreciate the liberties and seize the opportunities that our great nation offers to each of us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For firefighters and first responders, that the Lord, as he promises, would prevent them from being harmed by the fire or consumed by the flame, even as they seek to save the lives and property of their neighbors from fire and flame. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and injured, especially Darren, Carolyn, Susie, Karen, Harry, Phyllis, Jerry, Steve, Terry, Jeannie, and all who are named on our prayer list and in our hearts, that the Lord Jesus, who heard the cries of the Canaanite woman, answered her prayers, and healed her daughter, would hear and answer our prayers, and grant healing to those whom we now bring before his throne of grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Danny and Judy, that the Lord who has bound them together and kept them together in the estate of holy marriage would continue to bless them and enable them to be a blessing to one another and their entire family. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who grieve, especially Dave and his family and President Trump and his family, that the Lord would be their refuge and strength in this time of sorrow and grief. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the unbelieving and the unbaptized, that the Lord would give them his Holy Spirit, that they might have faith in Jesus, great faith, that trusts his word and clings to his promises. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Pastor Barlow, that the Lord would guide him as he considers the call to serve Emmanuel, and that the Lord, through Pastor Barlow's preaching and administration of the sacraments, would create faith in the hearts of those whom he serves. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Trinity Lutheran School, as we anticipate the first day of school later this week, that the Lord would use the proclamation of his word that happens in our classrooms and chapel to fill little hearts with great faith. For Connie, that the Lord would receive our thanks for the years of service she has given to our school, and that he would continue to use her to serve her young neighbors and bring them to Jesus. Finally, that the Lord would be praised for his faithfulness through these difficult days for our school, for comforting us in the losses we have experienced to our staff, and for providing others who can fill those vacancies and carry the work forward. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We remain standing and sing the offertory as we prepare the Lord's table. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.